Time now to bring in Carey Crowley. He's out in Atlanta. He was there last night for the Braves celebration, winning their second straight NL East title. Carey, how's it going, man?
Excellent. How are you today, Adam?
I'm doing well, man. It's a nice sunny day in San Francisco. It's a warm one. How's the weather out in Atlanta?
It's a little overcast now. It was sunny all day long, but it is hot. It is hot here in Atlanta. It's still upward of 80 degrees out here.
Are you seeing any Braves stumble in? Are they nursing hangovers? Are we looking for a W today for the Giants?
I have not seen a single Brave on the field yet. So about 3 hours to go until the game. The Atlanta Braves may just not show up at all.
Yeah, I was talking earlier saying, you know, these are days where if you're a betting man or woman, might be a good day to lean San Francisco Giants. They were celebrating pretty hard last night. Looked like by all the videos, the one saving grace I think we have as Giants fans is that it was not a save situation. No Mark Melancon mowing it down to get the crown.
Yeah, Mark Melancon was the life of the party in the Atlanta Braves clubhouse last night. He was enjoying himself. And you know what? It was good to see. He's had a tough few seasons. I know many Giants fans won't forgive him for the contract that he signed and the performance that he had during his 2.5 seasons in San Francisco. But it was good for him to get a fresh start. And maybe some other guys will get fresh starts this offseason. And maybe the Giants will look a whole lot different in 2020 than they did in 2019.
You know, that's an interesting note there, that they may even look more different next year than they have this year, because this was such a year of transition. And it felt like, in reading your story from yesterday and Andy's story and kind of what the beat writers had to say, like the overwhelming feeling leaving yesterday's ball game at 6-0 was just how far ahead the Braves are from the Giants and maybe even the Dodgers too. Is that sort of the feeling you had after the game?
Yeah, I mean, they're just playing two different games. The Braves are so much further ahead of the Giants in all aspects. I mean, their player development is better. Their on-field product is better. And the Giants are trying to catch up. That's why they brought Farhan Zaidi in. That's why he had first-year farm director Kyle Haynes try to make as many strides as possible. They overhauled the pro scouting department. There were more changes made last week. And so the Giants are trying to catch up to these teams that really took advantage of San Francisco falling behind after those three World Series titles at the beginning of the decade. And now we're staring at a 2020 where there's almost just as much of uncertainty as there was entering 2019.
You know, it's been such a year of the home run, but I think you can make a case that this has been the year of the rookie also, or the year of the young player. It sort of started with Acuna last year. Now, of course, you got your Yordan Alvarez's. Gavin Lux just came up for the Dodgers. Even Walker Buehler's still a young guy. The game continues to get younger. And in saying that, one of the big notes from yesterday is Acuna hits his 41st home run last night, a curveball the other way, which was incredible. But he's younger than every player currently on the Giants 40, man. That blew my doors off, man.
Yeah, it's wild. You figure he'll be in the lineup to face Logan Webb tomorrow. Logan Webb, the Giants' top pitching prospect, 22 years old from Rockland, was a high school draft pick, didn't go to college, and he's already older than Ronald Acuna. He's the same age as Ozzie Albies, and these are two guys that have had major success in the big leagues for the past two seasons. So really the race is on for the Giants to get guys like Elliot Ramos, Marco Luciano, Luis Toribio up to the major league level and producing, because if they can do it by 2021, then the Giants could start to look like the Braves. They could have all that young talent, the superstar factors of guys who just come up and they're ready to hit and play right away.
Carey Crowley with us. Do you think Marco Luciano is, I've been seeing projections on him, and it's so hard to tell with young guys, and I don't know how much you've paid attention to the comps for him, but I saw one report that they're talking about him as maybe even more power than we anticipated, like a young Alfonso Soriano. That kind of made my eyes pop a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's always so hard to predict what an 18-year-old is going to look like in the big leagues, but, you know, once Fernando Tatis Jr. kind of got going in A-ball with the Padres, everyone said, wait until he gets the big leagues. He's going to be a big star. Mm-hmm. And we saw it this season. Fernando Tatis Jr. was electric when he was on the field. He was the Padres' best player as a rookie. And when he was off the field, you saw San Diego suffer because of it. And so if the Giants can have a player with that kind of electricity, that kind of star power come up and contribute right away and just be, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, it makes a huge difference in inspiring hope for the future, because this fan base has had to sit through three consecutive very rough seasons where there's not really been light at the end of the tunnel. And right now it's hard to tell if there is. And so if you see those guys, you know, approaching AA, AAA next year, that's going to be a really good sign for the organization as a whole.
It could be fun. I mean, these guys, it's incredible to watch Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, but I think sort of like maybe baseball and maybe in particular us as Giants fans, we see the Dodgers so frequently, but are we sleeping on the Braves at all? I mean, they've got 140 home runs, from their top four hitters. This guy, Freddie Freeman, is an MVP candidate year in and year out. You've got a veteran presence in Markakis. Are they a team that's going to make a legitimate run towards an NL crown this year?
You know, I don't think that the Dodgers are the clear-cut National League favorites in the postseason. They have been in the past few seasons because of the strides that teams like the Braves have made. And I even think that the Cardinals can give the Dodgers fits in a 5 or 7 game series in the postseason, just because the Cardinals have such a stacked pitching rotation. And, you know, they've got guys like Jack Flaherty, Dakota Hudson tearing it up at the major league level. And so you've got the Braves and the Cardinals kind of emerging with this young talent. And I think they're ready to take on the Dodgers at the top of the NL, and kind of challenge them for that pennant that the Dodgers have almost had some ease in getting the past few seasons. Even though it hasn't looked so easy in the playoffs, the Dodgers were clearly the best team in the National League in each of the last two seasons.
Well, I think one of the question marks, and I think this is a question mark for every team, and maybe the Braves addressed this better than anybody at the deadline, is the bullpen woes. And you talk about Mark Melancon, but they went out and added Shane Green as well. I just feel like the Braves are a team that can go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers as far as lineup goes. They've got the power and the ability to drive in runs. We talked about Freddie Freeman, Donaldson's power as well. I think it's maybe the starting rotation that could be a little bit more of a question mark. I know Foltynewicz, brilliant last night, but he just came back from Double A. What can you tell us about the Braves starting pitching?
Yeah, I mean, I really like Mike Soroka and Max Fried, two really young guys who, like you said, the year of the rookie, they're taking off. Mm-hmm. Soroka is a legitimate rookie of the year candidate. And, you know, everyone has talked about Pete Alonso and his 50 home runs with the Mets. Well, what's the hardest thing to do in baseball right now? It's break into the big leagues and have immediate success as a rookie starting pitcher. And Mike Soroka looks like a guy who could go into the postseason and flourish. And having Dallas Keuchel as a guy who could anchor your rotation is always important, because you need that veteran presence in the postseason. If you're in an elimination game, that experience matters, and Keuchel had it with the Houston Astros. So I do like what I see from the top four Brave starters, especially if Folty is throwing the way that he did last night against the Giants.
Talking to Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group. Kerry, you were out in Boston, weren't you?
Yeah, I was out in Boston, yeah.
How was the Boston? I mean, dude, I don't think anybody would have thought back in, I'm looking at July, I'm looking at August. I know that it ended up being the 2000th win, but the special nature around what happened with Yastrzemski and then the Bochy celebration, I mean, this is going to go down as one of the more memorable weeks in series, I think, because of how poor the Giants have played over the last 3 years in recent memory.
You know, in spring training, everyone had the Boston series circled, not just because it was Fenway Park, but because that was supposed to be Pablo Sandoval's big return to Boston. And what would the ovation, let's just say lack of ovation.
That's an ovation, like, yeah.
For Pablo Sandoval, yeah, exactly. The showering of booze on Pablo Sandoval, what that would have been like. But it turned out to be the special moment for the Yastrzemski family. Carl and Mike. Mike hits home run number 20 on Tuesday, and then Carl throws the first pitch out to him on Wednesday, the night of Bruce Bochy's 2000th win. So really, far and away for me, the most memorable series the Giants played this season. And there are so many guys in that clubhouse who will consider that kind of the defining series for them of what they'll take away from 2019, because there haven't been that many great memories this team has made, but everyone soaked it up that series, and they really appreciated all the significant achievements that were made there.
We were kind of talking earlier on the show about how baseball's unique in that unless you get to see certain guys play every day, you don't understand the impact. Like in Omar Vizquel, you understand how beautiful his game was because you saw him play every day. I feel sort of the same way about Bochy, in that there was not a ton of fanfare when he got here. He seemed like the transitional manager from Bonds to the next era of baseball. Felt like maybe a safe hire. But when we got to know him every day, we got to realize that this guy is a brilliant baseball mind. Do you think the fans of Boston understood that?
Well, if they didn't, they saw on Tuesday night in his 15-inning victory, mm-hmm, where he used 13 pitchers and seemingly matched up everyone successfully against a Red Sox lineup that's still outperforming its pitching staff. The Red Sox hitters are still doing damage late in the season, and so they're not the reason that group has fallen apart. But, yeah, I think that they were able to see that, and they could see the impact that he makes on the game. And it's much easier to spot in a National League park with National League rules because there's no DH. But, you know, you put him in that ballpark in September with expanded rosters, and he was able to pick out favorable situations for just about all of his relievers in that 5-4 win over the Red Sox on Tuesday. And it was really a strong showing for Bochy.
Was he a little salty and peeved in that game? There was a lot of emotions, it seemed like. A couple of pass balls. He was not happy with some performances. And then, of course, the 2000th win, it was the exact opposite. But was he a little salty on Tuesday night?
He may have been. He may have been. It was a little, it may have been missed just because of all the Yastrzemski fanfare that was going on and the fact that the Giants played their second longest game since 1958 when they moved west to San Francisco. So there were a number of aspects that were overlooked. When you play for 15 innings and play for 6 hours, you're not able to focus on every little aspect of the game.
Another couple minutes with Kerry Crowley before we let you go, Kerry. Right before the show got going today, the Padres released Andy Green as manager, relieved him of his duties. We were joking about the terminology. You've been relieved. You're fired. You're not managing the pods anymore. But I think this is going to lead to a lot of discussion this offseason and maybe even in the next week as to whether or not Bruce Bochy is actually done. Because I think the feeling is he's probably done. But if the Padres were to call in December and have a conversation, he'd probably pick up the phone, wouldn't he?
You know, I have a hard time believing he wouldn't at least entertain a phone call and at least go in and meet with A.J. Preller, the general manager there, and talk about the situation. I don't think that Bochy ever planned on managing in 2020, and I think that had the Padres moved on from Andy Green in 2021, there would have been a much greater chance that he would be the guy that they could turn to and kind of manage that young core of exciting players. But the main takeaway I have from the Padres firing Andy Green is that it's not good news for the Giants. You've now got competition from inside the division to hire the best available managerial prospect. And the Padres' job, to me, is much more enticing because they're set up to win in 2020. Chris Paddock, Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, all that young talent coming up through the farm system. And the Giants are not set up to win in 2020. So where would you rather go as a manager? I think that there's a case to be made that San Diego is a much more attractive job at this point.
No, I think it's totally a more attractive job. You're saying it. You could be in the postseason or competing for a wild card spot just next season. So one more here for you before we let you go. Johnny Cueto on the hill today has not allowed a run through two starts, a .7 whip. Are we looking to stretch him out a little bit? Maybe go longer than 70? What do we know there?
Yeah, I think they'd like to get him up to 80, 85 pitches. We'll know from Bruce Bochy shortly. We're expected to meet with him within the hour, so we'll get a feel for that. But I think that that's important for Johnny Cueto. And, you know, no one in the Giants dugout wants to see Johnny Cueto give up a run, but he's still tied with Pablo Sandoval for the team lead in ERA this season at 0.00. So if Pablo wants to hang on to that lead, maybe it could be good for Johnny to go six innings, one earned run.
All right, that's what we're playing for, the final week and a half. Keep Johnny Cueto's ERA under one. Kerry, before we let you go, how are the parents today?
Thanks for asking.
Have to ask, man.
It's a bye week for SI football, so they're out on a hike this afternoon.
All right, good deal, man. Enjoy Atlanta. Enjoy the flight home, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, have a good one, Adam.
You too, Kerry. All right, Kerry Crowley, great stuff out in Atlanta.